Tech Weekly with Jake Brown. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 17 of Tech Weekly. Tech Weekly is a show that gets released at the end of the week every week where I tell you the biggest tech news that has happened in the past week. So first up, Facebook is getting back into its roots today with the launch of a new product called Campus, a section of the main app specifically designed for college students. Campus is designed to be a place where students can interact only with peers at their school. They can access a campus-only newsfeed and join groups, events, and group chat rooms called campus chats pertaining to campus life. In a nod to the original Facebook, they'll even have access to a campus directory where they can find and friend other students. In order to access campus, students have to provide their .edu email address as well as their graduation year, and once they're in, they'll create a new profile specifically for the section, although their usual profile and cover photos will follow them to campus. They'll also have the option to add or remove their major, classes, hometown, dorm, or minor. The more information they add, the more they'll be able to find classmates with commonalities, which also, of course, gives Facebook more data about what college students are studying and who they're talking to, which informs its ad targeting decisions. For now, Campus is being piloted with 30 universities around the U.S., including Johns Hopkins, Northwestern, and University of Louisville, as well as Vassar and Virginia Tech. For some reason, though, Harvard is not one of these 30 schools piloting it. For now, only students at the same university can see and interact with each other, but maybe in the future it will be expanded to other schools. Next, last year, T-Mobile announced a plan to provide 10 million low-income households with free broadband internet to close what then CEO John Legere called the homework gap. The company has now revealed that it has allocated $10.7 billion for that Project 10 Million program over the next decade, with the goal of making it available to K-12 students who participate in the National School Lunch Program for low-income families. Even before the pandemic, more than 9 million of America's 56 million school-age kids did not have access to reliable internet and could not complete their after-school assignments, the company said in a news release, suggesting that the existing gap leaves many kids at risk of falling behind in school. School administrators can apply for the program by providing a zip code for their students in the school lunch programs, and parents can also volunteer schools as well. The schools then distribute the hotspots and devices, with T-Mobile providing assistance for setup and technical support. Households can get a free hotspot and 100 gigabytes of data over a single year, or they can pay $12 monthly for 100 gigabytes of data each month. Those data limits may not meet all the needs of students using Zoom, YouTube, and loads of other video streaming platforms for their online classes and entertainment, and T-Mobile is still limiting those video streams to a low resolution 480p. There will be a limited number of hotspots available too, with the T-Mobile allocating more each year. In addition, the fine print says that the free plan will end after 100 gigabytes or 365 days, whichever comes first, suggesting that the student's internet may abruptly get shut off. This is still better than nothing, though. Moving on, Bose has introduced three new pairs of Frames audio sunglasses for $249. Two are fashion-forward, they're called Tenor and Soprano, and the third set, Tempo, is much more sporty and specifically designed for outdoor use like biking, hiking, and running. All three cost the same $249 and are available beginning today. Bose says that they'll also be prescription-ready, and sound quality is clearer and richer than the previous frames, according to the company. But the selling point remains the same. If you can't stand how earbuds feel or just are after a different experience, Frames can give you a private audio bubble for your music, phone calls, and Siri and / Google Assistant interactions while keeping you perfectly aware of everything that is happening around you. In addition to this, Bose has also announced their $279 Quiet Comfort earbuds and $179 Sport earbuds. With the flagship Quiet Comfort earbuds, Bose is promising to deliver all the quiet of Bose around-ear headphones in a truly wireless form factor. As for the Bose Sport earbuds, essentially a successor to the 2017's sound sport-free. Bose says that they're designed for comfort and stability through even the most vigorous, intense workouts. Both will be available on September 29th with pre-orders starting today. So in one fellow swoop, Bose is trying to take on the AirPods Pro and Sony 1000 XM3 earbuds, with the quiet comfort earbuds and the sport earbuds will compete with the lower cost options like the Jabra Elite 75T and Samsung Galaxy Buds. Over to our favorite news, Apple News. Apparently, this suspected Apple Watch prototype is disguised as a tiny iPod Nano. The 6th generation iPod Nano inspired quite a few people to try using the tiny square as a watch, and this April we learned that the very first Apple Watch prototype was actually an iPod Nano strapped to a wristband. This is pretty clever of Apple because most people wouldn't think anything of the iPod, even though it's actually a prototype Apple Watch. Next up, the Portland City Council has passed the toughest facial recognition ban in the U.S., blocking both public and private use of the technology. Other cities such as Boston, San Francisco, and Oakland have passed laws barring public institutions from using facial recognition, but Portland is the first to prohibit private use. Portlanders should never be in fear of having their right of privacy be exploited by either their government or by a private institution, Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler said during a hearing on Wednesday. Facial recognition software has been found to have age, race, and ethnic biases, leading to questions about civil liberties and misidentification of individuals by loss enforcement, and Portland City Council Commissioner Joanne Hardesty reportedly touched on those concerns in a statement at the hearing. Back over to Apple News. Last week we talked about the floating Apple Store and what it looked like on the outside, but this week we have actual images and videos of the inside of the store. The sphere is constructed of 114 individual pieces of glass held in place by 10 vertical mullions, which is the architectural term for supporting bars between panes of glass in a window, and Apple says that the dome is a first-of-its-kind construction, all glass and fully self-supporting. On the interior wall of the sphere, there are baffles that create shade and what Apple is calling a nighttime lighting effect. At the top of the sphere is an oculus that lets in sunlight, which Apple says was inspired by the Pantheon in Rome. As well as a shop floor with all the usual gadgets on display, the dome houses a video screen and seating area to host the various talks and tutorials Apple likes to give at its stores. Underneath the dome and the surface of the bay is a lower level. Apple says this space includes the company's first underwater boardroom, where entrepreneurs and developers interested in receiving training and advice can meet with Apple team members. Over to Motorola news. Earlier this year, Motorola relaunched the Razr, modernizing the iconic flip phone brand with a flashy foldable display, Android, and a $1,500 price tag. Unfortunately, it fell short in a number of ways, with the creaky hinge, poor cameras, and awful battery life. Now Motorola is trying to redeem its first foldable with a second generation Razr, which adds 5G support, better cameras, and more useful software. The overall design of the Razr looks fairly similar to the original foldable. There's a 6.2-inch 21.9:9 foldable display on the inside of the phone, while a 2.7-inch OLED quick view display on the outside allows for access to notifications and other basic functionality. Also, the same high price tag, which is $1,399, is just $100 less than its predecessor. Inside, there's a number of changes. The processor is a faster Snapdragon 765G to accommodate for the 5G. The RAM has been increased to 8GB from the 6GB on the original. The internal storage has been doubled to 256GB, and the battery is a larger 2800mAh, which should definitely increase battery life. If you want to learn more about the phone, check out the link in the description, as well as check out all the other articles for this episode of Tech Weekly. Moving on, last week NVIDIA unveiled the $699 RTX 3080, which promises double the performance of the RTX 2080 for the same price when it releases next Thursday. You may have your mind set on that card, but there's one reason you might want to wait. AMD will likely answer with their own competitor to the RTX 3000 series on October 28th. AMD has confirmed that its new line of GPUs is part of the Radeon RX 6000 series, which uses AMD's new RDNA 2 architecture that includes real-time hardware-accelerated ray tracing and variable rate shading. The computing company also plans to host another event on October 8th, focusing on its CPUs that use Zen 3 architecture. AMD has not said what type of CPUs it will unveil. We've been expecting the company to unveil the Ryzen 4000 series for desktop as a successor to the 3000 series, which use Zen 2 architecture. We have already seen the Ryzen 4000 in laptops, but those chips also use Zen 2, not Zen 3 architecture. Over to Microsoft News. They have fully detailed their new Xbox Series S console. The $299 next-gen console will arrive on November 10th, designed to be a more affordable option for 1440p gaming. Microsoft is using the same CPU from the Xbox Series X inside the Series S, running at 3.6 GHz. This is only slightly slower than the 3.8 GHz speed in the Zen 2-based CPU that runs on the Xbox Series X. The primary difference between Xbox Series X and S is the GPU, explains Jason Ronald, Microsoft's Director of Xbox Program Management. Through talking to our customers, we found that many of our fans prioritize frame rate over resolution, so we wanted to build a console that didn't require a 4K TV, says Liz Hamran, head of platform engineering and hardware at Xbox. Microsoft is also launching its Xbox Series X console on November 10th for $499. Pre-orders for the new console will begin on September 22nd, with the company also offering the Xbox Series X through its Xbox All Access program. Xbox All Access is a bundle that splits the cost of an Xbox console, Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, and Xbox Live into monthly payments across 24 months. The Xbox Series X will be available through Xbox All Access for about $35 a month, including Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. Microsoft is rapidly expanding its Xbox All Access program in time for the holiday season, and even bundling EA Play into Xbox Game Pass Ultimate and Xbox All Access. EA Play includes more than 60 of EA's titles, including games like FIFA 20 and Titanfall 2. One of the main differences between the two consoles is that the Series X has a Blu-ray player, whereas the Series S is a fully digital console, which means that you can't play any of your old disc games on the console or watch some of your favorite movies that you have on DVD. In addition to this, the Xbox Series X has 16GB of RAM and the S has 10GB, and the storage is also cut in half, as the Series X has 1TB of solid-state storage and the Xbox Series S has 512GB of solid-state storage. The final difference is that the Xbox Series X can game at 4K up to 120 frames per second, and as I said before, the Xbox Series S only goes up to 1440p, which is still pretty good. Continuing with Apple news, they have announced their Time Flies event for September 15th. The event starts at 1 p.m. Eastern Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Time. Normally, Apple announces new iPhones in September, but this year, there have been rumors of the phones being delayed. Instead, the event's tagline, Time Flies, suggests that we're looking at a new Apple Watch. Apple is rumored to have a full lineup of hardware for this fall, including four new iPhones, the Apple Watch Series 6, and an updated iPad Air, as well as a smaller HomePod, maybe a light version, a tile competitor called the Apple Tag, and possibly even a pair of Apple-branded over-ear headphones to replace the Beats line. Given the Time Flies branding, Apple is likely to focus on the Apple Watch for this event, though with the Series 6 rumors to add blood oxygen monitoring and improved sleep tracking, along with a faster processor, Apple is also rumored to announce a cheaper replacement for the Series 3 model, which may be called the Apple Watch SE. Lastly, Apple has promised that we'll see the first of its ARM-powered Apple Silicon Macs before the end of the year, but we haven't heard any rumors yet, sadly, so I don't think they'll be announcing those at this event. Now for Lightning News. Lightning News is a bunch of short articles that I share with you relatively quickly. First is our favorite Lightning News, Apple News. Apparently, Apple's tile competitor may finally be in production. Rumors about the trackers, which will apparently help you wirelessly locate items they're attached to like a bag or wallet, have been swirling around since last year. The so-called AirTags are apparently designed to work with Apple's Find My app and are expected to be small circular discs. Next, Ninja is back on Twitch exclusively in a multi-year deal with the site. It's another big move for Tyler Ninja Blevins, who's had quite a year even aside from the ongoing pandemic. Last August, he left Twitch for an exclusive deal with Mixer, which shut down at the end of June, scrapped for parts over at Facebook Gaming, and by returning to Twitch, Blevins puts the end to the question of where he might land next. Continuing on, Huawei has announced the second version of its Harmony OS operating system and detailed plans to bring it to a wider range of devices, including smartphones. Huawei will make its beta version of the Harmony OS 2.0 SDK available to developers today that will initially only support smartwatches, car head units, and TVs. A smartphone version of the SDK will follow in December 2020 as the CEO of Huawei hinted that phones running Harmony OS might appear next year. Over to Google News. Google Maps is back on the Apple Watch after abandoning the project 3 years ago. The new version doesn't let you seek out a new location directly from the Apple Watch, though. For spontaneous trips to places you've not saved on your Apple Watch, you'll need to use your phone to start the process, then you can continue with the navigation on the Apple Watch. So it's still a relatively basic experience, but it's nice for people that don't want to have to be stuck with Apple Maps. Next is a phone that we started to talk about a lot lately. LG has confirmed that the Wing is the name of its new smartphone. In addition to this, we also know that the phone will be revealed at an announcement on September 14th. The device is believed to have two screens and a swiveling form factor, with a recent teaser video showing what looks like a sliding mechanism that can rotate into a T-shape. Now to a future competitor of Apple, Tile will refund up to $1,000 in products if you can't find your lost item. They're offering a new premium subscription plan starting this fall that will allow people to claim money for lost items. The plan, called Premium Protect, costs $99 per year and includes all of the perks of its premium subscription, including free battery replacements and a 30-day location history, as well as item reimbursement of up to $1,000. Premium, the original plan, is still available and costs $30 per year, or about $3 per month. Next up, Amazon's new Alexa partnership lets you link your AT&T number to turn your Echo into a phone. It's an expansion of Amazon's existing Alexa calling feature, which the company debuted in 2017 that allowed Echo devices to call mobile numbers and landlines for free. The difference here is that Amazon is working much more closely with AT&T, giving customers the opportunity to use their Echo devices in the same way they'd use their regular AT&T phones. Over to Android news. Android 11 has officially launched, and it did so on Tuesday, September 8th, after months of betas. It's getting a wider release than expected, with the latest version of the operating system coming today not to only Pixel devices, but to phones from OnePlus, Xiaomi, Oppo, and Realme as well. Android 11 adds a variety of new features to Google's mobile operating system, although as a whole, the update focuses less on these new features and more on strengthening the core of Android and strengthening some of the features that were previously debuted in the last version. Back to our favorite news, Apple News. The latest beta version of Apple Music for Android contains strings of code that directly mention the rumored bundle of the company's services, and even the name Apple One is in there. Subscription bundle is also part of the new text, as are prompts about how customers can manage their Apple One subscription from an iPhone, iPad, Mac, or Apple TV. The company is expected to take a tiered approach, combining Apple Music and Apple TV Plus in the cheapest tier and adding in other services like Apple Arcade, Apple News Plus, and extra iCloud storage in more expensive monthly plans. Now for some motor vehicle news. Uber pledges to shift to 100% electric vehicles by 2030. Rather than pay drivers directly to trade their gas-burning vehicles for electric ones, the company will impose an extra fee on trips completed in an electric vehicle to incentivize drivers to make the switch. Starting today, Uber is launching its Uber Green surcharge in 15 cities in the US and Canada. For a dollar extra, riders can specifically request a hybrid or electric vehicles, and drivers who use a hybrid or electric vehicle to pick up passengers will get an extra 50 cents per ride, while drivers using specifically and completely battery electric vehicles will get another dollar on top of that, for a total of $1.50 extra per ride. Before Nintendo released the Switch, the company had early plans to create a similar handheld based on its iconic GameCube console, which was leaked in internal documents. There's also a leaked presentation that suggests that Nintendo explored the idea of releasing a high-definition console that would have competed more directly with the PS3 and Xbox 360. A technical diagram outlines a portable console that could be attached to a TV via a docking feature, GameCube controller ports, memory card slots, and a port for an SD card. However, it's unclear if the project ever made it past this early planning stage. For our final piece of tech news, and this is a bit of a funny one, Razer's latest gaming accessory is chewing gum, and it's aimed at boosting your focus and reaction time in games. The company teamed up with Five Gum from Mars Wrigley to make Respawn by Five Gum in three flavors: Cool Mint, Tropical Punch, and Pomegranate Watermelon. The gum is available today starting at about $3 per 15 stick pack, or about $28 for a 10 pack. It will be available from Razer.com as well as Amazon. Razer previously released a flavored energy drink mix in 2019. Okay, that just about wraps up this episode of Tech Weekly. Thank you to everybody that is watching. If you enjoyed this, check out our Tech Weekly podcast over on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. I'm Jake, the Tech Professor. Make sure to like, subscribe, and stay safe, and I'll catch you guys in the next one.